Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, we're back at our verse-by-verse study through Matthew. We're in chapter 11, and I'm at verse 12. And for this verse, I'm going to do an entire teaching and use that for the verse-by-verse study as well, because there's a lot here. So we're going to do this entire teaching on this verse 12, Matthew 11, verse 12. I'm going to call it Holy Violence Refuted. You'll understand the title as we go. Holy Violence Refuted. Okay, you can check all the rest of my Matthew studies at don'tperish.com or the teaching blog. Look up the verse-by-verse studies to catch up. We're in Matthew 11, verse 12. Let's go right to it. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. All right, so there's a lot here. That's why I want to do an individual teaching on this and refute a common mindset about this verse. Jesus, in this verse, is making the point that John the Baptist was the last prophet from the Old Testament until the Messiah came, himself, Jesus. And we have to understand that there was a 400-year silence between Malachi and John the Baptist. Now, John is the one that the scriptures in Isaiah 40 pointed to. We read those in our previous Matthew study. The one crying in the wilderness, making the way of the Lord, right? He is. To further understand this, let's look at the companion verse from Luke 16, 16. And it says this, "And the law of the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." So, Jesus said kingdom of God. Here it says kingdom of heaven. Here it says kingdom of God. Now, if we look at the Greek words in these two verses, we're going to see something interesting. The words violence and presseth. The Greek word is biazo, right? Same Greek word, two different English words. That's not uncommon. And this means to force, to crowd oneself, to be seized, to press in. It does say suffer violence, to use force, to apply force, to inflict upon. All right, and this is the only time in all of Scripture we ever see these two words used, and I think there's a purpose why, because there's no other place where it's applicable, but right here we'll give you another example of a word like it that Jesus uses, but it is a little bit different in context. So, what does this mean? Pressing in, taking the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven by force. Now, I have a question. Can we even begin to think that Jesus is saying men can storm the kingdom of God, storm heaven by force, entering it, and they're still well-meaning? I don't think that's a possibility at all, even though a lot of false teachers have suggested it. We'll talk about them in a minute. As you can't gain eternal things by flesh or corrupt ways, can you? 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither corruption inherit incorruption. So how could you be corruptible with force and pressing in and inherit that which is incorruptible? You can't. It's impossible. So what is Christ saying to us here? Well, I've heard false teachers, Anabaptists, Puritans, and others say that this just means we're to have something called holy violence. And what they mean by holy violence is a great effort to push in to take the kingdom of God for yourself. Now, I have trouble with that because I don't think in context of what it's teaching in Scripture, and I would never link the word holy, to be separate for God, to anything to have to do with a word in English meaning violence. Even if you try to say it's force, it's pressing in, it just doesn't fit the context of what Christ is talking about here, and I'm going to give you reasons why it doesn't. And further problem is, you will never find the term holy violence in Scripture, so we should be very careful not to use it, because it is not true. This was promoted by false teachers and groups like the Puritans and the heretical Calvinist Charles Spurgeon. So I'm here to refute holy violence, and I'm going to tell you what I believe Jesus is talking about. I think the key to understanding these verses is to look at the subject matter at hand, John the Baptist, the kingdom of God, then on to Jesus' ministry. So So let's start there and see if this makes sense to you as I lay this out. Why this is not well-meaning people seeking after the kingdom of God, but a force of people pressing in at that time for a reason. Right? So as I said, 400 years since Malachi to John, God was not speaking through prophets. So Israel was hungry to hear from God again. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yep. They also were under the cruel rule of Rome, and they, in the back of their minds and theology and hearts, they wanted a king to come and rid them from Rome's wicked rule over them. And I'm going to prove it in a scripture verse later. These same people had that mindset. Now, John's in the wilderness, and we are learning from scripture that whole towns and regions are coming out to see him. This is a force of people, and they're pressing in on John to go see him and his work and his preaching and his baptism. Matthew 3:5. Then went out to him Jerusalem, all of Judea, and all the region round about Jordan. Hey, he's got whole regions. That's like a whole state of people just coming, pressing in to see John the Baptist. And we're going to see how they acted when they came to see people like John or Jesus. These people were not standing in line calmly, patiently. We see what these people were. We'll see that in scripture. So tax collectors, Pharisees, prostitutes, everybody's pouring out to see John, some many to be baptized. And you can imagine, it's a mass of people pressing in, or a force of people. I think this makes sense as we read on. This is what Jesus was talking about. From the time of the law and the prophets to John, and now people are taking it by force. What's changed? This mass of people pressing in on John, and then later on to Jesus. Because later, John's disciples, he gets thrown in jail, they move to following Jesus, and we see a force, don't we? John 6:15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. I don't think I need any other verse to prove to you, these groups were the kind of people that thought they could force God to do stuff for them. Their own self-will, rebellion, stiff-neckedness. That's witchcraft. Doing what, you know, I'm going to force God to do something for me. That's like the spirit of witchcraft, right? And we even see people that were following Jesus. Now, you might say these guys were more well-meaning, but we see that they were definitely pressing in. Luke 5:18 through 19. What did these men do? And behold, men brought in a bed. The men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought the means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, there's those people there, they went on the housetop, let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. They ripped the roof apart to lower Jesus in. Now, they might have been very well-meaning in that, but this is still pressing in. They're doing something by force. We don't know the motives of all of this, the men or even the man. And so it's a force, it's a pressing in. How about Luke 5:15? But so much more went there, a fame abroad him, and great multitudes came together to hear him, to be healed by him of their infirmities. All right, these people are desperate. They need a miracle. They want to see Jesus. Pressing in, a force of people seeking Jesus. Ask yourself, though, what was most of their motivations? All these thousands of people. Who's left with Jesus in the end? Proves that they were not of the right mindset in most all cases. How about this next one? You need more evidence that these people were some kind of a real force and maybe weren't all that well-meaning? Luke 12:1. And in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon each other. Okay, that word trode, it means trample. You ever see, like, at these crazy rock concerts or music events or sporting events, people are pushing and somebody falls down and the crowd keeps going and tramples them to death? That's what this means. Does this sound like well-meaning people? They're trampling their neighbor, who we're supposed to love, by the way, to get at a miracle, to get at maybe the free food, whatever was going on there. Something to consider. Here's another point for you. Both in Matthew 11 and Luke 16, Jesus is giving a kind of rebuke to these people, asking them, what kind of man did you come to see in John the Baptist? It's not exactly a praise of the people that were all around them, all right? And again, I need to remind you, if you say, well, these people had to be well-meaning, Jesus had 120 men left with him in the upper room. Everyone else deserted him, turned their backs on him, They handed him over to be crucified. These people were not well-meaning. They were pressing in, trying to take what they wanted by force. And I think another interesting thought, how are we supposed to gain the kingdom of heaven? Is it like by force we just take what we want, we push in and grab it? Well, not according to Jesus. Matthew 18:3. And he said, "Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Do you equate a force and violent pressing in with innocent little children? I don't. I think Jesus had a total different meaning here. And so we have to consider all of these clues as to what Jesus was talking about. And to further refute the idea that we are to use holy violence to enter the kingdom of God, let's look at Luke 13, where Jesus says something similar, but it's different. Luke 13:24, "Strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." So here, Jesus is telling us we should strive to enter in, but the word used is not biazo. It's a total different Greek word, agonizomi. Agonizomi, it means struggle, fight for, contend for. It's not the same as like a force pressing in to get your way. We know from other scripture what? We're invited into the kingdom of God. Now we're called to struggle and strive for it, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This Greek word has the connotation to being zealous to gain a prize. Totally different than a force pressing in, taking what they want. We are going along, our will is going along with the kingdom of God to now strive for it versus pressing in to take it like a thief would. Totally different meaning, I think, if you really ponder it. And then let's consider this. Herod, the ruler, throws John the Baptist in jail because John called him out for his sinful marrying of his brother. His brother was still alive. That goes against Torah law. Then later he cuts John's head off. Would you say that's a force trying to take something? Herod was a Jew, and he actually feared John, but he still went ahead and cut John's head off. That's a force. Herod was pressing in to get favor with his family, his wife, whatever. Not exactly meek and calm and peaceful, is it? Last point I'm going to bring up to you about this, refuting holy violence. The Pharisees were against John and Jesus. We know they're against Jesus. Jesus tells us they were against John in the verses we're going to read coming up in Matthew 11. And they use lies and force and slander to pressure, demean, and tear down Christ and John. Called him a winebibber, called him all types of things, friends of sinners. And they also used man-made traditions. Read about that in Mark 7. And this was controlling the temple, controlling the kingdom of God, using their adjusted, vain, man-made ways in their rule over the temple. This would be a force, right? This would be something that they were trying to do. Jesus said that they were binding heavy burdens on people. And so the Pharisees were part of this as well. John the Baptist rebuked them and said, "Who told you to flee from the wrath that's coming?" So all of these examples of the force and pressing in that men did, it does not fit that we're to use holy violence to enter into the kingdom of God. I don't think so at all. I think it comes down to Christ was giving a rebuke and a warning that things had changed, that people were pressing in, thinking they could take the kingdom by force. When how do we get it? We come through Christ and the gospel. We have to reject the idea of holy violence, and then we must strive on the narrow straight path. And that striving is not against the kingdom of God and forcing to take it, not against our Messiah or against a teacher of God. What's it against? The culture, our flesh, false man-made rules, leaving things behind. That's what we're pressing in against. If we're leaving all of that behind, it's not pressing against the kingdom of God itself. We come to the kingdom of God via the gospel in peace within ourselves, then we strive to endure it all. So I think for this Matthew 11 verse 12 study, I'm going to leave it right there. That's one teaching all on its own. I'll pick up again next time at verse 14, Matthew 11 verse 14. Ponder that, holy violence. I think those two words are so contradictory. They are not scriptural. It is not what Jesus is talking about. Test me to the Word of God. Let me know. Send me an email, men, if you think I've got it wrong. I'd love to hear what you have to say after we go over the gospel and talk about the things of God together. So, till next time, check out don'tperish.com. Check out all the resources. In Van Dwelling Life, Preaching Christ Crucified. going through Matthew one verse at a time. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, have a glorious day. God be praised.